know the MPs are always welcome in the committee because it's very near for us to come to make sure legislation must be put in place to restore the service delivery can take place in South Africa. in the introductions, my name is Linda Moss, I'm the whip of the committee. And then the other members can introduce themselves and then delegation, don't worry the delegation, they can introduce them. So I will hand over to Robert Swana.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Foni Mushwana. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Who will lead in this side of the House, the delegation? Over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, Chairperson, members. I'm Monica Newton from the Department of Arts and Culture, DDG for Arts, Culture Promotion and Development, currently filling shoes far larger than my own as I stand in for the DG of Arts and Culture, and I'll allow the delegation to introduce themselves. Thank you, ma'am.
So, can continue.
My name is Jayce Gumani. I'm head of language planning and development in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Mula Lojuwen, Chief Director, National Language Service.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Given Tichwa. I'm with the Legal Services Department of the Arts and Culture.
Good morning, Chairperson and Committee. I am the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Suan Isaac.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. Alan Small from the State Law Advisor's Office, and this next to me is the Mani Brotis Nancy. Thank you.
Good morning, I am Norman Liberal and I'm 16, Ellen Small, and I'm also from the Chief Center.
Morning, my name is Sam Mahatlane, Peso Minister.
How do you do? Yeah. How do you do?
Oh, okay. No, I'm fine in you. Thank you.
Cape Town, you must be always fine because tomorrow the wind will blow and the day after tomorrow there will be rain. So you must be always feeling well. The other three in the back, the one in the back, are you part of who?
I'm Kwesi Sonamerva. I'm from the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport in the Western Cape, Head of Language.
It's very important we must know who are in this house. You see, now we have the Western Cape is here to come to observe and listen what our father's body is going to, because it is important, especially this province where the most of the people speaking Afrikaans. So now it's time that we must learn other things. Okay.
My name is Kaweka Kapan, Office of the Deputy Minister.
morning, Chairperson and honourable members. I'm Louis Nell. I'm from the Parliamentary Damage Section.
Good morning. I'm Julia Smith. I work for the Language Services Section of Parliament, but I'm here representing the Professional Editors Group.
Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm Tiffany. I'm from PNG.
I'm Johnny from the State, and I'm being committee assistant.
Oh, Tiffany. Oh, I said Tiffany. Sorry to pronounce the name wrongly. We thank you very much. We have apologies. There's an apology for the Deputy Minister. We have a meeting today. We have a meeting in the Presidency today, so he's unable to attend the meeting of the today. Then we have apology of the Minister. Honourable Paul Masekile is also have a meeting today in the cabinet. Then we have an apology of Honourable Nikki van der Berg. I think he also presented the apology last week that the MP who are employed in the constituency where they buy the constituency. Yeah. So therefore he's unable to attend to the portfolio committee. It's only the street. Then the policy of the chairperson, I already said in the beginning of the meeting that three meetings. He attended the meeting since this morning in the strategy meeting. So I think he will join us later. Can I get a second for the apologies? That's four apologies. Honorable Ruswana Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's good.
Honorable Anskarwick, you are closing. Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. So, on the agenda for today is the bill that we were dealing with the clause by clause, and then we will deliberate on that. But I think what I would propose that maybe as we do it page by page, can if there is deliberation, can people do that if it is fine? How do members think? Members? Other thing that we do, when we're in the first phase, we finish with that. Is there anything that members want to change or to add or whatever? And if we agree on that first phase, we go to the second one. Is that in order? Okay. So I will end over, I don't know who will lead us. Also, Anne will lead us on it. I want to ask who will lead us. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, do you want me to read every single clause against the amendment?
Our question is, what's the clause of only on the amendment?
Chairperson,
yes.
Can we look into the proposed amendment? Because we have been deliberating on this, some other issues,
yeah,
where we highlighted that the department maybe can go for unless if we would like to do a literally clause by clause as indicated in the program, but otherwise the most effective one would be to look into the proposed amendment as discussed.
Chairperson, I agree with my chief, yeah. The only thing is that I want to add is that, you know, we need to probably just go for only the amendment, but only if a member or any member has anything new in a particular place, that probably you have to just give an attention to, so that we don't.
No, I will really be flexible, because if we're dealing with legislation, then we must look at all the loopholes. I think it's why we are here, to make sure that the legislation will backfire to us. So I will cooperate on it. Can I hand over to you, ma'am?
Everything that has been said last week was attended to. Anthea isn't here today, but do we have a guarantee that you've attended to that?
Sorry, I didn't say, Anthea put the policy in the office, she's already saying this, but so in Isaac is in the place of her. So I hope and I trust that in their brief on last week's portfolio committee. What is Isaac?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regard to the clause, it's up to the committee as to whether they want me to read through each clause and I can then highlight the amendment. With regard to, as Gordon, she did brief myself, and we did have a meeting with the state law advisor prior to this meeting to ensure some of the amendments or the amendments suggested by the committee were incorporated. They are on the A list, this document. So there's something that is not captured on the A list. The members of the committee can suggest amendments as we read the board. In the A list is a document called the proposed amendment and
assigned. Yeah, I got it. So, I was suggest, as I was saying in the beginning, that you take us on page by page.
Thank you, Chairperson. The two documents that I'm going to speak to members is the original bill as introduced, the South African Language Practitioners Bill of B14 of 2013, and the other document is the proposed amendment, the draft A list. This lists all the amendments as proposed by the committee and the department and captures the changes that will be made to the final key version of the bill when the committee decides on it. The bill is called the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill, B14 of 2013, that's the cover page. Chairperson, as Gordon advised me, there was issues regarding the actual name of the bill. I don't know whether the committee would want to deliberate on that at this stage or leave that to the end of the meeting.
If I recall well, the DG indicated that maybe this can be discussed towards the end of that previous meeting. Probably you might have, as a department, look into that, maybe come up with something.
senior members of the committee. You will recall that the residents were proposed. Ultimately, Dr. Somani, who is the head of the language unit, gave an in-depth explanation in terms of why the bill should remain as South African Language Practitioners Council Bill. I was of the view that, in as much as DG said that we should discuss the name at the end, members were in agreement with the explanation that was given, and therefore the name of the bill should remain as.
I can also recall that there was a long discussion on the issue of the name of the bill. And I can remember Honorable Moswana was making the proposal and even explain why she is saying that the bill must stay as it is last week. So I don't know why the legal advice didn't capture that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Unfortunately, you know, I didn't attend meeting last week for other parliamentary commitments. Is there any problem with the name of the bill now? If there is no problem, why do we have to discuss changing of the name?
Thank you. I'm noting with concern that I'm not sure whether it's the lawyer or the acting is whatever you call it. If you don't want you to move, you want to move. It's like where, like, I don't think I'm moving. And I want you to believe it, believe that. And I want you to move. Because I believe in the last meeting, we agreed that we are concerned about how language is practiced out there. And we convinced each other, unless it was, because there was a debate which went on to say it should be professional. And we agree that there's nothing professional. There's nothing professionalism about my speaking Shishangani, you know, or speaking Xhosa or whatever. When you're born from a very early age, you learn to speak. There's nothing professional about it. The thing is, we want people to be able to speak. Therefore, we agree that it's practitioners. You speak in practice. Unless we want to debate that, we can debate the whole thing, because there were people who are very much interested in professionalism, and we agreed that up. Here is nothing about professionalism, it's about speakers. It's about the language.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm reading on the arrangement of sections of the bill. The long title is to provide for the establishment of the South African Language Practitioners Council, to provide for the objects, powers, duties and functions of the council, to determine the manner in which the council is to be managed, governed, staffed and financed, to regulate the training of language practitioners, to provide for control of accreditation and registration of language practitioners, and to provide for matter
connections.
Provide for the objects, powers, duties and functions of the council, to determine the manner in which the council is to be managed, governed, staffed and financed, to regulate the training of language practitioners, to provide for control of the accreditation and registration of language practitioners, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Being enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows: arrangement of sections, chapter 1, definitions. The first one is definition. Chapter 2, South African Language Practitioners Council. Clause 2 is the establishment of South African Language Practitioners Council. Chairperson
On the A list, there is a proposed amendment to add a clause 3 called the application of the Act. So these sections will all change, numbering of the sections will be changed, but we will get to that when we actually get to clause 3 of the actual content of the Act. So if the committee agrees to insert number 3 there, then all the subsequent sections will be renumbered when it goes to the editor. Chapter 3, Board of Council, Composition of Board. Clause 5, Disqualification of Members of Board.
I'm sorry, I think. Can you just clear us on that one? Chapter 3. What do you mean?
Clause 3, Chairman. I'm just advising the committee that there is a proposed amendment to add another clause called the application of the Act as to who the Act actually applies to. So that would come in later on when we go to clause 3 in the actual bill itself. But in terms of the arrangements of sections, if the committee agrees to insert a new clause 3, then all the numbers will change. So I'm just advising the committee to be aware that if that clause is inserted, then all the numbering will change in the final version of the people. Chapter 3, Board of Council. Clause 5 is composition of board. 6, disqualification from membership of board. 7, declaration of financial or other interest of members. 8, term of office and reappointment of members. 9, vacancies, suspensions, removal and resignations from office of members. 10, meeting and procedures at meetings of board. 11, recusal of members from meeting and proceeding of board. 12, remuneration of members. 13, establishment of committees to assist board. 14, co-opting of persons to or committees of board. Chapter 4 on page 3, chief executive officer and staff of council. 15, appointment of chief executive officer. 16, function of chief executive officer. 17, resignation and removal from office of chief executive officer. 18, staff of a council, Chapter 5, a code of conduct for language practitioners and policy directors. Clause 19 is code of conduct for language practitioners. Chapter 6, accreditation by council. Clause 20 is application for accreditation. 21 is accreditation certificate. Chapter 7, funding and financial management of council. Clause 22 is funds of council. 23, financial management. 24, audit and annual report. Chapter 8, keeping of registers, removal and restoration to registers and ancillary matters. 25, keeping of registers. 26, removal of name from and restoration to register. 27, effect of suspension or removal from register. 28, right to appeal. 29, custody and publication of register. 30, register of proof. 31, issue of duplicate registration certificate of status, extract from register or certificate by register. 32, qualifications and experience prescribed for registration. 33, the levying of annual fees on accredited and registered persons. Chapter 9, general provisions. 34, security of confidential information held by council. 35, dissolution of council. 36, name of council. 37, delegation. 38, offences. 39, penalties. 40, regulations. 41, transitional provisions. 42, Chairperson, those are the arrangements of sections. I don't know whether there's any proposed amendments from
Thank you. Actually, it's not amendment. I'm going to chapter 6, 21. It's like written accreditation certificate. But it says, these are annual contributions. Accreditation by council. Is it the same thing? Or should we write accreditation by council? No, no, I'm not. Chapter 6. There is 20 and 21. I'm talking to 21. We need to understand this. especially some of us students here, like I'm the same way, we're not schooled to understand this, so we need to understand it correctly. Is it the same? Accreditation certificate, full stop. Well, not full stop anyway, but period. But then, you said accreditation by country. Must we collect it to say by country?
Thank you, ma'am. I don't think that it is necessary to correct it, because if you look at the chapter 6 itself, it says accreditation by council.
Okay, thanks.
Then below that, you have subsection where you talk about application for accreditation and then the certificate which will be issued. Thank you.
That's why I'm saying this heading, it's the heading, and then come to the point.
Thank you. That's for uniformity. In clause 21, it's a certain certificate. And then in clause 31, it's a certain certificate. And that's for uniformity. Do you understand what I'm saying? In clause 21, it's a certain certificate. And then in clause 31, is a certificate. That is plural. So just for uniformity, is it not right to just use certificate, certificate, or certificate, certificate, right through the beer?
Thank you. I'm sure we can agree on that. Remember, the council, the committee has recommended that we maintain uniformity in the use of terminology. So I think once we have adopted the proposal, such issues will be dealt with. Thank you.
So what you're saying, in short, in 31, that we can continue with what was standing in 21.
It should be a certificate.
Okay.
Also, Chair, this has to be also probably considered on Chapter 3, the same thing anyway, Chapter 3, Number 8, term of office and reappointment of member. I still keep on saying member. I don't know if you can look at that.
Now, what must be decided here is whether we are going to use the plural or the singular form of the nouns throughout. So if we use the singular form, member, it should be used throughout. If we use the plural form, members, then it's... So it's, I agree with that.
With regard to the certificate, the first one will be issued with one certificate, so the singular would be a proper one. More than one member can be appointed at a time, so it would be members. It is a technical amendment, so we would have to look at all the consequential changes when we finalize the A-list.
Committees, because we are not talking of a particular committee, there may be a lot if it's similar, then we will know how to put the best. And if it's plural, we'll also put the best correctly, so that we don't make it plural and similar in the same sentence. Sometimes it's necessary to say committees, because unless if we're convinced that only one committee will be established to deal with. I don't know if I make sense.
Well, I was wondering, it makes sense because they talk about more than one. Committee is more than one. It's not committee. Committee is one. That is what I'm understanding. It's some mere thought.
I think we're making it unnecessarily difficult. The context will decide whether it's plural or singular.
Agreed. Let's move.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm on page 4 of the bill, chapter 1, definitions. definitions. Clause 1, in this Act, unless the context indicates otherwise, accreditation means the certification usually for a particular period of time in respect of individuals as having the capacity to fulfill a language function as prescribed in the quality assurance system set up by the South African Language Practitioners Council in terms of this Act. Board means the board of the council appointed in terms of section 5. Chief executive officer means the chief executive officer appointed in terms of section 15. Council means the South African Language Practitioners Council established in terms of section 2. Council for Higher Education means the independent statutory body for advising the minister on all education policy issues and for quality assurance. Chairperson, on the A list, proposed A list, there is a proposed amendment to Council for Higher Education. Firstly, education is spelled incorrectly, and because it's a pronoun, the council should be in capital letters. So, Council for Higher Education, the title. Council of Higher Education itself needs to be corrected as indicated on the A list, the first point one on the A list. A Council for Higher Education, the definition or the actual word itself, firstly, education is spelled incorrectly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Council for Higher Education is a name, so it should be in capital letters. The proper designation, the proper way it should be written is on the proposed amendment, and it should be a capital letter C. For capital letter H, higher, and capital letter E, education, and education needs to be corrected in terms of the spelling.
Yes.
Now I Thank you.
In school, he was always being a person to lay in my
Thank you. Chairperson, to make things easy, you should just say we forgot to write in. Instead, because you came with all these technologies, but the fact of the matter is that he was not, it was like education. You know, I read it and twice and realized that no, it should be education. And that's what you should have said. You continue to speak it in that want to move with you. So that if you forgot something, you're saying we forgot to put an E, so that's the language that can be understood. That can be understood by any lay person. Some of us are just lay person. So if we accept that E is now inserted and that it must now be kept later, because it was once visited. And I was like, what is this education? Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just to add to what the member is saying there, as this will be a consequential amendment throughout the bill, those initial caps will be made caps automatically through that. Thank you, Chair.
I think what Honourable Moswana means is that on this assessment, is that the Council for Higher Education, there was a spelling fault. The E was not there, that's what it means.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I am now at the definition for department. Department means the department in the national government responsible for language. Sorry, Chair, there's just one more amendment to the Council for Higher Education. Council for Higher Education means the independent statutory body responsible for advising the minister. Instead of in, we should have on. So advising the minister on all higher education policy issues and for quality assurance. So the in the sentence must change to on. Department means department in national government responsible for language matters. Interpreter means a person who transposes an utterance from a source language to a target language in spoken form. Chairperson, there's a suggested amendment to add to the definition of interpreter to include the word or sign form. The definition will then read, interpreter means a person who transposes an utterance from a source language to a target language in spoken form or sign form. The department can explain the need for the addition.
I understand why the next department, department, and you said it means the department in the national government. My understanding was that we are specific here, and why it writes small n and small g. Is it correct to do it like that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It could be either small or capital. The state advisor has told me that it shouldn't necessarily be amended, but the committee wants it to be changed to capital letter N and G for national government, then it's on the A as well. We can proceed with that as per the committee's suggestion.
Sorry, Chief. Chief, my apologies. because of the amount of those we have in Parliament and the original advisor who was assigned to this, I was brought in at the 11th hour and our consultative as the parliamentary advisor said and the department. We didn't find anything wrong, like the initial guess of the council just now, that was a pronoun, this is not really a pronoun. So if the emphasis wanted to be laid on that, then it's fine, we can do that. I did the amendment, but I did advise the parliamentary advisor that after discussing with colleagues in the office, we could leave it as it is in the bill, or if the emphasis wants to be put on that, we did it in the A list. So I can now ticket yes or no, and then later just do the agreed proposed amendments. The agreed amendments.
Why do you not do it up front? Why are we dealing with it just now? So I think we must keep it for the members to start on the book, Skalvik, and then on the other.
No, Chair, I just think if we talk about A, national department or national government, or in the plural form, national government, then it's all right. You can use small letters. But if you talk about that, then it is a specific one. Then it's got to be a capital letter. That's how I've got it.
My chair is to look at the wording the gentleman has just said now, that he said we didn't see anything wrong. And I just want that to be clear, because, you know, he says we. Who are we? Together here as a committee or them? Because we're dealing with a team here. There might be nothing wrong, but we, who are we, who are you? So I think this must be clear to me. So it is clear to all of you.
No, you're totally right, because if you can remember last time in B226, there was a report saying that the members of parliament of the African Council Committee were taking this decision of ACES, other decisions. And we were talking to one another and saying, that's why we must be specific in saying, so that we not be able one day when this one is be writing wrongly, of the amendment wrongly, and they say that committee of 2009 till 2014, they do something wrong. So that's totally right. So also you must this one.
Thank you, Chair. When I said we, I'm sorry, it's my office, the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor. It was brought to our attention to where we amended, and we did the proposed amendment. I also agree with the Honourable Member, Stefan Skalberg, that to put the emphasis on, and because of the English language there, so I agree. And it is in the A list already. So it will be incorporated in the Bible. So trust that will answer the question.
So
that is
just one. Want to move? You want to be stuck? Yeah.
It should be agreed. Both of us said the same thing. It should be to agree with what is the end. What is that?
Why are members so sensitive today? Okay, now we agree with those three members for class. Yeah. And it is in the panel. In the island, yeah. I saw the national government. It's that one on the capital letter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Your amendment is noted. Going back to this definition of interpreter. Interpreter means a person who transposes an utterance from a source language to a target language in spoken form.
And on point number 4 on the proposed amendment, it's proposed to insert or sign form. So it'll be means a person who transposes an utterance from a source language to a target language in spoken form or signed form.
So all come in before sign form.
Interpreting means the spoken act of transposing an utterance from a source language to a target language in spoken form, and the proposed amendment is to include or sign form. This is consequential to the previous amendment, so to make them both consistent. Chairperson, language editor means a person who affects correction of language and style in written text. According to the point 6 on the A list, it says this definition should be deleted. I don't know whether the department wants to speak.
I could possibly assist the department here. In terms of the deliberations that was brought to me through the department, they said that language editor should be changed to read rather text editor. And so we deleted from that point because the definitions goes in alphabetical order. So if you do see later, we do add it in the definition, that still remains the same definition, just the name of the definition changes. But having said that also, we will also just make sure when we finalize things that the consequentials will flow throughout the bulk like the other initial gaps or those things. Thank you, Chair.
Do I understand you correctly that you are no longer using language, now you use text instead of language? Is that what you are saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Language practitioner means a paid occupation which involves the work that is done by language practitioners, including but not limited to translators, interpreters, terminologists, lexicographers, language editors, or any other person conducting language-related work registered as such under the Act. Chairperson, on point 7 of the A list, there's a proposed amendment to include language planners in the definition of language practitioners.
The language practitioners.
They will language practitioners will mean paid occupations which involve the various ones already listed. And they would also insert language planners. So language planners will now be one more of the paid occupation of a language practitioner. So it's one more occupation or one more designation that's going to be inserted into the definition of language practitioner. Language profession means work related to such fields as language editing, translating, terminology, lexicography, or any other work related to language. Lexiography means a person who engages in the practice of compiling dictionaries. Lexicography means the practice of compiling dictionaries. Member means a member of the board of the council. Minister means a minister responsible for language matters. Portfolio committee means the portfolio committee responsible for language matters. Prescribed means prescribed by regulations under this Act and prescribed as a corresponding meaning. Public Finance Management Act means the Public Finance Management Act 99, Act No. 1 of 1999. Qualification means a duly accredited degree, diploma or certificate awarded by examination by a registered training institution to a person's proficiency in a particular subject. Register when used as a noun means a register kept in accordance with the provisions of this Act, and when used in relation to any class or a member of any class of person in respect of which a register is kept means a register kept for that class. Registrar means the person responsible for registration of language practitioners and appointed by the Chief Executive Officer in terms of Section 18. Registration means the act of registering after compliance with the accreditation process prescribed by the Council. Regulation means any regulations made under this Act. Rule means any rule made under this Act. South African Qualifications Authority means the South African Qualifications Authority contemplated in Chapter 4 of the National Qualifications Framework Act 2008, Act No. 67 of 2008. Terminologist means a person who collects terms and related terminological data from technical texts, conducts research on the meaning of terms, and manipulates the data by using and applying terminological methods and principles to comply with the needs of particular target users. I'm on page 5 now. Terminology means the technical vocabulary of a particular subject, field, or domain characterized by the restricted and standardized meaning of the terms and the linguistic designation of a specialized concept of a particular subject, field, or domain. Chairperson, the proposed amendment or insertion of text editor will now be inserted at this point after terminology, and it will read, it's on page 2 of the proposed amendment. Text editor means a person who affects corrections of language and style in written text or recorded signed text. This is the definition that the department explained that was deleted and renamed in this particular point to text editor. This Act includes the regulations and rules made under this Act. Chairperson, the definition, there's a proposed amendment to the definition of translation. The present one reads, translation means the act of transposing a text from one language, source language, to another language, target language, in written form. The proposed amendment will now read, translation means the act of transposing a text or other spoken or a target language in a written or spoken or signed form. That is point 9 on the amended list. Translator, there's also a proposed amendment to translator. Translator currently reads.
Not this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can continue.
Sorry, I must just say a minor correction on the definitions. We are saying that your translator means a person who transposes a depth from the source language to the target language in a written, comma, sign, or spoken form. That follows also is the same consequential amendment to a translator, I mean translating. It's from a source language to a target language. Thank you. A translator means a person who transposes a text from the source language to a target language in a written, comma, sign, or spoken form. The same consequential amendment then applies to translating. It would be transposing from the source language to the target language in a written, comma, sign, or spoken form. The proposed amendment does not seem to be correctly captured, Honourable Member. Hence, then I'm providing that clarity.
That's why we were wondering, but this one is then the change one. But what are you bringing now? Another change one. That's why we get a little bit lost. I don't know other members. Yeah.
My understanding is if 9 and 10 that is being accepted by the present translation he is giving us now, unless we say we don't agree with this amendment. But if we do, I don't see anything wrong. If they correct it now here.
He's correct, Honorable Doctor, but I'm trying to check. See, the play, my friend over that side. This one is an amendment to the bill itself, of which, in other words, let me use. We're correcting maybe what was written in the bill and make and produce this amendment. Now we are looking into the amendment. Now the amendment also is being verbally amended by itself, if English allows me to say that. It's no more the one from the context of the bill. And it's no more the amendment, what is written in the amendment paper. Now it's a third verbal amendment. That is my little understanding. Of course, we are not trying to pick up those little things. Because in as far as I am concerned, the definition is only the indication of what you are going to get when you go through the meeting. But now we can't have the two written amendments, the amendment of the first one, and the verbal one, which one do we take now? Are we correcting which one? I understand what you would like to say.
Chair, yes, I agree with the member. It seems a bit confusing as it's written there. The amendment attempted in the proposed A list is proposed as it stands there. Once the members agree with everything from there, it will be changed to agreed amendments. And so if the department wants it just to add another piece, it depends on the members, but we don't, as it reads or proposed from the department, we can add that into the A list one. So it will just be another extra word, sources. So it shouldn't be a major problem, but we do understand that it is confusing to the members.
even before the regulatory department is created, it's supposed to say to us members, I want to do a slight change on that one, on the B-list or the A-list, so that members can know. And why did you say this course must be changed? I mean, we, on the end of the day, we are the people who must make this legislation. And at the end of the day, if we just let things happen under our nose, how will we account? We can continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Probably I'm the one who's not talking this correctly, I don't know. I'm looking at the proposed change, clause 10. On page 5 in 910, to omit the definition translator into something, translator means transpose a text or other spoken or target language in the written or spoken form. All I'm saying is that when you translate from a source language to a target language. Now, when you read the definition as quoted in inverted commas, all I'm saying is that it does not seem to me to capture the essence of what we want, because it's from a source language to a target language, not target language in a written or spoken form. Hence, then I'm saying that one would therefore say that a translator means a person who translates or transposes a text from the source language to a target language in a written or signed form. If you read the line as stated, it says that transpose the text or other spoken or target language. It's from source to target. Thank you, Madam.
No. I think I understand what this gentleman comes from. Because if they have seen a mistake after they have already compiled this document, that is proposed amendment, I don't see why they cannot do it here.
Yes.
That is what he is doing. And I understand what he is saying. That is why I say, if we don't have any problem with the present definition he is giving us, why do we not allow him to make such amendment here? Because I understand where he's coming from. And I agree with that definition, definitely.
I don't know who disagrees now. Not
that I disagree, Chair. But consummated by the government, I'm telling you,
bear with us. See, now we are defining the definition, whether it makes sense like or not. Now we have got a definition of some kind. We define it, and then we also redefine it in a sense that I do understand it in this way. And then the other one will say, no, but you said this, you said this way. So that is where I'm now, okay, it's fine, it's going to be captured, because at the beginning, the source that he is also putting in here as the real sense, I mean, to make this understandable. It is in brackets in the first, the being itself. But now, being amended, given another, you know, whether I'll say, no, I don't know which form is that, the shallow one, speaking of the spoken or a target one. So you see, but if it is going to be corrected and as other people understand, then it's fine for me, let's continue without, because I think this morning we still have much energy, that's why we talk too much, but later on I think we'll be slowing down. Thank you.
Member Mawson, and thank you very much for the gracious concession, Member. I think that the intention in the Act is just to make it clear that translators don't only translate from text, that they translate from a range of other forms as well. And in essence, it might be a phrasing issue, but certainly that's the intention, is to say that when we translate, we don't just use written text, it can be spoken form or alternatively sign language as well. So it's just a sense that we want to expand the definition to be as all-encompassing as possible. Thank you.
I hope and you understand what Father Bagunda is saying. The peace there in the between brackets, source languages. Why did he use they saying a text or other spoken or a target language. And it was saying. But that in our young ones we become now the judge. But this Isaac, can you take us further?
Thank you, Chair. With regard with the A-list, as my colleague said, it is the proposed A-list. We will get a finalized version with all the correct amendments, and then the committee will have a look at that, and that will be the correct reflection of all the amendments that are in the meeting. Chair, but I'm going to go to Chapter 2 on page 5. The section title is South African Language Practitioners Council. The heading is Establishment of South African Language Practitioners Council. Clause 2.1 reads, there is hereby established a juristic person for the protection and promotion of language and practice in the Republic to be known as the South African Language Practitioners Council. The council is a national public entity subject to the Public Finance Management Act. The proposed amendment to clause 2.2 is to capitalize the word national public entity.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. As members can see through by the A-list that we also added the application of the Act. In retrospect, we think that maybe that should be just not added in there because it doesn't really fit in properly there. So there's other alternatives that we could drop it just to make it a new clause and then put it in the A-list as a new clause, and when it gets incorporated to the B bill, it will reflect the numbering and consequentials will all change. So it stands on its own, I think, better than what it stands now, what we proposed. So our proposal sorry, members, is to then amend it a bit further and put it in its own clause.
Different from what's written in clause 2 with regard to application of the act. So after clause 2, we propose that a new clause 3 be inserted, and the title will be application of the act, and it will have its own subsection, and that will read, the bill applies to all language practitioners within the Republic of South Africa. That is point 3 under clause 2. So basically, we're inserting a new clause with a new heading, and it will be called the application of the act, and that wording in 3 will now be a different clause under the new heading. It's because the application of the act does not necessarily fit in with the establishment of the council. It just doesn't read well. So we suggest that a new clause be inserted so it's clearer when you read it.
A new clause or a new sub-clause?
And subsequent to that, all the numbering from clause 3 will change, but that will be picked up by the when we do the printing. Moving on to the objects of council, which is the current clause 3. The objects of the council are A, to promote and protect language practice in the Republic, B, register people deemed registrable by the council. Chairperson, there is a suggested amendment on page 3 of the proposed amendment to page 3, clause 3.1 on the proposed amendment. It is to delete the word deem. And in 3B, register, 3C, accredited people deemed accreditable by the council. Again, point 2 is to delete the word deemed. My colleague has another suggestion as to the amendment.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It was requested for us to delete deemed. We did that, but when scrutinizing again after that this morning, and so the sentence just doesn't read properly without that word. We could change the word, of course, we agree on that. So we suggest in the proposed A list, it will just read it another extra instead of deemed. So now it will say omit deemed, but to substitute with who is, then it will read correctly with the sentence, structure. That's all, Chief. Thanks.
Can therefore the presenter read us the amended version so that we can hear what is the amended version now after this amendment as it is deemed? Because I don't understand. But how can we...
what the new wording would read. So it will be B, the objects of the council are to register people who are registrable by the council, and C, accredited people who are accreditable by the council.
I think that now understand what I'm saying. The only thing is that they said to omit deemed without saying
same clause 3 of D, scrutinize particulars of people intending to register. E, develop, implement, revise, and amend a code of ethics relating to the conduct of registered language practitioners. Chairperson, there is a suggested amendment to remove the word ethics and to use the word conduct. So the sentence will now be, develop, implement, revise, and amend a code of conduct relating to the conduct of registered language practitioners. My understanding for the amendment is that is to ensure consistency throughout the whole Act, because the word conduct is used in other places in the Act, and ethics is used here. So it's basically to ensure that the word conduct is consistently used. F.
So we are made, thank you very much, we are made to understand that ethics and quality mean the same thing in this particular quality. I just want to check that.
Sure. Just for further clarification, whenever ethics will now appear within the bill, it will be a subsequential amendment, so it will, throughout the bill, where ethics appears, it will be changed to conduct. It's just a consequential, so it stays uniformly.
Thank you, Chair. F, protect language practitioners' professional interests. G, protect the members of the public when they make use of services provided by language practitioners. Chairperson, the H, there's a proposed amendment to the current H. It currently reads, provide efficient and effective language services to members of the public who seek the services of the council. The proposal is to delete this entire subsection and to replace it with, regulate the provision of language services to members of the public. The new H will read, regulate the provision of language service to members of the public. I provide and encourage the provision of opportunities for persons, especially from disadvantaged communities, to enter and participate in the language industry in the Republic. Chairperson, the first proposed amendment to I is to remove the word disadvantaged and replace it with the word indigenous. So it will read indigenous communities now. And the second proposal is to remove the word industry and to replace it with the word profession. So the new I would read, provide and encourage the provision of opportunities for persons, especially from indigenous communities, to enter and participate in the language profession in the Republic.
I am made to understand that industry is also going to be profession. I just want to make sure that's what I said.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
J, contribute to the enabling environment for job creation in the language industry in the Republic. Subsequent to the previous amendment, industry will now change to profession. And advise the minister on matters affecting the language profession. Functions of the council. Source 4.1. The council must administer funds appropriated by parliament.
This time, Kate, if I think you're listening, but this time, the object of the council, the last one came, that this time we are talking about language proficient.
In the bill, the council will provide work opportunities for language practitioners. Those language practitioners that will be practicing in the language profession as defined.
Next is Roman numeral 4, the
National Skills Authority established in terms of the Skills Development Act 1998, Act Number 1990, Act 97 of 98, in respect of skills and development. And there's a proposal to insert the word and, because there's a new clause that is coming in here. And the proposed new clause, Roman numeral 5, is on page 4.6, which will now read, organized language professional bodies. So, basically, the council must now consult and liaise with organized language professional bodies as per the new instruction. Organized language professional bodies. Promote and regulate professional liaison amongst registered professionals. The proposed amendments on page 4.7 is to remove the word and regulate, and thereafter in point 8 to insert the word language. So the new D will read, promote professional liaison among registered language professionals. Promote professional liaison among registered language professionals.
Why do you decide to omit?
Thank you, Honourable Member. In the submissions that we received, it was indicated that liaison is a voluntary thing, so we should not necessarily be regulating that via legislation. Hence, when we are saying that, we simply promote that there be interaction between the bodies. But on the same sentence, I just want to propose that we take up professionals, because we have said that we are dealing with practitioners. Therefore, it will be promote professional liaison among registered language practitioners, so that it is consistent with what we have already agreed upon. Thank you.
Any other questions?
The work of this stage in front of us, all these professions, to make this long, long story short, are we saying, because it's now professional from here henceforth, are we going back to practitioners from here henceforth? That's your explanation that you're thinking, and it's confusing.
I think you had explained it earlier on and agreed with us that this is a language practitioner speak. The explanation that the department had given was that if you say professionals in the wider sense, it would include people who are not ordinarily within the ambit of the PM, people that you don't want to regulate, like the example that was given, your speech therapist. Now, all I'm saying is that can't we just change that word which says professionals and then it's language practitioners, arrange that language practitioners, because the bill is for language practitioners. Unless, of course, then the committee feels otherwise. I'm trying to make it specific to what we need to regulate, which are language practitioners. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I'm not sure if I want to confuse it more, but I think what my colleagues also, just to add what he's saying, is that the practitioners that was agreed in the relation to remain practitioners and not like professionals. The other thing where I think might be perceived to be a bit confusing is where we change industry to profession. That is totally different to professionals and practitioners. So that's, I think, where the difference is between profession and professionals.
I'm trying to travel with you, but I'm not sure whether it's moved from practitioners
to profession now, so that I can flow with you. I just wanted to have that understanding, so that I can flow. Because I hear Dr. Mabunda say in the beginning they were speaking about practitioners, but now I hear you speaking about profession, or professions or professional, I feel like in that part of it. But I'm just trying to be on board, because one, I want to raise it because I think one of the, because we are keeping referring to public hearings, but one of the submissions of public hearings were very clear that now, where do we put people who are the organic intellectuals? How do you interpret them? They've got no education, they interpret in court, some interpret in hospitals. So what are you going to call those? No, I'm just raising both. It was also raising submissions. I think that's what the question is. What I'm asking is professionals or practitioners? Because one of the issues that was raised, if you were here, there was a debate who's a professional. Because according to South African standards, a person who's a professional must have a certain element of academic, you know, qualification or a certain level, you know. I'm not taking it, I'm just raising this issue. That's why I'm asking. I say practitioner or professional, so I can flow. Maybe I can tell us. I just want to understand, based on what they're talking about, they say, what we said in the beginning now. So I was just trying to get clarity on that one.
I think it was in the beginning on the name, people raised also on the issue of what is this person. On what we discussed last week at Jefferson, and then as Honorable Muswan explained, and we agreed last week, it must be the practitioners and not the professional. So, and then we also elaborate on when we're dealing with the clause on the issue of practitioners. So, but if they can explain it more in clear text.
I think the chair is correct. That was the initial discussions when we opened the meeting, that and through the department's advisor, that we should keep the bill's name practitioner instead of the other way around. Where the change comes in afterwards is where we use the term industry, and that's where we thought we shouldn't call practitioners an industry. And there, throughout the bill, the word industry will change to profession, but it's a broad, just practitioner's profession. And on the last amendment proposed to further on the A list is that my colleague says that maybe we should change professionals to the practitioners to keep to the old name, and I have no problem there, although one of the members did say that the definitions is profession. But as it stands, I think that is fine. The bill says to be practitioner, and with industry, it just refers to the profession. That's all. But we'll keep us practitioner in it. I don't know if the parliamentary advisor want to add there, or is it already fine?
Language practitioner is the person, and the profession is the work the person does. So I am a language practitioner, but I work in the language profession. So that's the difference as to when the applicable term would be in the context of the statement.
Jefferson, I can see that there is confusion about this. Teaching is also a profession. The medical occupation is also a profession. But farming is not a profession. That is an industry. You see, that is that's not building houses and things is not a profession. That's an industry. And that is that people belonging to a certain profession have a certain code of conduct, certain regulations, etc., etc., etc. That differs a profession from, say, an industry, for instance. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Maybe what we need to request that class of 2013 against the government from a doctor, but she explained it so well, and we understood exactly what meant, but we were made to understand again, yet again, that according to all the things you said, we are made to understand that professional, industry, and practitioner mean the same thing. Unless if I'm mistaken again. It's like we mean the same thing, the way you are putting this issue, what industry, and the same as professional, and we are confusing us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I do not really believe that it is a lot of trouble if, again, we choose the route to simplify in one sense and in another sense to contextualize it, to make it fit with what the bill is supposed to do. So I would propose that we really put aside industry and profession, consistent with what we discussed the previous time we were here, the last time we were here, to just stick with language practice. I stepped out, I'm not too sure where we were at, but I left at the point where our legal representative from the department was suggesting that language practice is a profession, and I think we agree with that. But to avoid any other ambiguities further on, there would be nothing wrong with limiting it language practice. That will be consistent with the name, consistent with everything else that we want to exclude out of the meanings that may be possible. So we're going to disambiguate it like that.
Liaison and coordination in the field of training and accreditation pertaining to language professionalization, both in the Republic and elsewhere, and to promote the standards of such training in the Republic. F. Analyze and prioritize education and training needs in the language profession and make recommendations on the provision of such education and training. G. Recognize accreditation of voluntary associations that are in language professions. Chairperson, you would see that the door is missing, so it should read, recognize accreditation of voluntary associations that are in the language profession. H, levy and recover fees from registered persons. I, grant, refuse, ratify, and withdraw accreditation. J, determine strategic policy and make decisions in terms thereof with regard to the council and the registered profession for matters such as finance, education, registration, accreditation, ethics, and standards of professional conduct, disciplinary procedure, scope of the profession, professional matters, and maintenance and development of the professional competence. K. Coordinate the activities of the Council establishing terms of the Act. R. Propose levies of competency testing and qualification. M. Monitor and audit achievement in terms of those prescribed standards and qualifications without itself being the provider of education and training. N. Keep a record of registered language practitioners. O. Devise a manner of application for registration and consider applications for registration. P. Develop and implement the national system of registration for professional language practitioners. Q. Develop and implement a framework for the accreditation of language practitioners at all levels. R. Develop, implement, enforce, and revise the professional code of ethics governing the conduct of all registered practitioners. Chairperson is proposed amendment of R to substitute the word, to omit the word ethics and substitute it with conduct, as we had agreed earlier that we are now going to use the word conduct consistently. It will now be develop, implement, enforce, and revise the professional code of conduct governing the conduct of all registered practitioners, language practitioners. If perform any other developmental function relating to the provision of language services that may be required by the minister. T. Perform any function aimed at developing, aimed at the development of language professionals. Chairperson on the proposed amendments on page 4 deletes and because the new clause is going to be inserted later on. You perform any other function necessary to obtain the objects of this act. Point 12, page 4, the new clause B will be inserted after you and will read, develop, implement, enforce, and review the code of conduct of all registered and accredited professionals. So after you, there will be a new clause B inserted. Subclause 2, the Council may advise the Minister on A. Accreditation and competency levels in the language profession to improve the provision and the quality of services rendered by language practitioners through adequate education and training. B. Standards, competency, testing, and accreditation in the language profession. C. Relevant international standards and any matter falling within the scope of the Act. 3. In order to promote uniformity and cooperation by all organs of state in matters relating to the language industry, the Council must A. at least twice a year convene meetings between organs of state that have an interest in any matter related to the language industry. B. Act as a link between organs of state and stakeholders in the language industry in the Republic. And C. Liaise and interact with any organization, structure, or body that has an interest in any matter related to the industry. 4. The Council may enter into agreement with any person with expert knowledge in a particular field so as to assist or advise the Council in connection with any matter relating to any object, powers, duties, and functions in terms of the Act. Chairperson, that is chapter 4. What's the procedure? Chapter 3, Board of Council.
Otherwise, I don't know what I was saying. Later on, people will become. So that was it. We go to the time.
Okay.
on a very serious note. You see, conduct and ethics, if I weigh maybe because I was not born speaking English, I think you say ethics, it's something very serious. If you say conduct, and it's like we seem to be saying it means the same thing. Ethics and conduct. According to what we were doing now, it's like ethics. Because my answer, ethics has to do with it's something more serious. You know, ethics, it includes conduct and art. But then if we say ethics mean conduct, I'm confused. Are we agreeing that ethics is conduct? Henceforth. Thank you.
Chairperson, my understanding was that the word conduct was not the preferred term and it could be substituted wherever for the word ethics. I mean, unless the committee wants to use the word ethics instead, then we would do the opposite.
There was an agreement on conduct, if I can remember.
Not
land in the simpler word.
Chair, my ethics determine my conduct.
That was the last insertion on page 6 in line 33 after you. So he was inserted to redevelop, implement, enforce, and he used the code of conduct for all registered and accredited professionals. Chairperson, I started chapter 3 of Board of Council on page 6. Composition of board. The board consists of A, at least 8 but no more than 12 members appointed by the minister, and B, the chief executive officer as contemplated in section 15.5, subclause 2. The member must be a fit and proper person to serve the best interest of the republic, collectively possessing A, appropriate knowledge, experience, and skills in the language industry. Chairperson, the first amendment is to change industry to profession. B, the following skills and expertise. Legal skills, experience, and qualifications. Public finance management skills, experience, and qualifications. 3, risk, audit and risk management skills, experience, and qualifications. And communication skills, experience, and qualifications. Thank you. Chairperson, there's a suggestion that after clause subclause 2A, the and be changed to or. So it will read that the person must have appropriate knowledge, skill, experience and skills in language, in the language profession, or the following skills and expertise. I'm going to move on then if the members are fine with an amendment. Three.
Can the state and the parliamentary standard to explain whether within that mean in certain instances you have a board with members who not necessarily have a language experience or language background if we substitute and before. So what would be the indication of that?
Thank you, honourable member. That is exactly what we seek to achieve. If we have read that sentence as is currently, it's cumulative. It means that the person must have skills in the language industry, and then law, and then finance, and then all those other things, which is not what we want. What we want is, we want to appoint people from the language industry, and then among those board members, there must be someone who has legal skills. There must be someone who has financial skills, and audit skills, and communication skills. Thank you. Separated, not in one clause to say you must have financial management skills.
explain to members why would communication skills be required in the board? Because you would expect that the communication component will be an operational aspect to the CEO.
Thank you. I will start with the last one. Probably then, if that is the view of the committee, we can take our communication skills because they are an inherent skill in almost everyone. But on the issue of composition of the board, as you require me to explain, what we seek to achieve is exactly what you say it has been clearly stated in the Pens Act, which we are currently reviewing. All we are saying in that paragraph is that we need people from the language practice profession, and then we need someone with legal skills and the various categories. My understanding of the difference between your public finance management skills, audit skills, and risk management, you will note that your finance deals with the day-to-day payments that need to be made, so to speak. Your audit looks at the after-trade, has the payment been done correctly. Your risk, therefore, looks at what could influence adversely or otherwise the performance of the board. Thank you.
I don't think you explain why you said what you're saying about the communication skill. We don't say we want to let the first skill move. We want to know.
Thank you.
You said you want to know why are communication skills also.
Well,
now you will remove something and then, because communication is important.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we put in communication there because we thought that it is important that we have someone in the board who can ensure that there is effective communication, have that element. We wanted that element specifically as opposed to having it in a generic form, being your normal communication skills. Yes.
Yeah, actually, communication should be remaining often. I mean, it's very hard to really say. Actually, I don't understand why, communication will be all these other will be able to be realized through communication. Therefore, I don't understand why it's an issue. Unless if I let something like, for example, if I need to say, I think communication is like enriching all the legal, the public, the body, the body.
Section 1, the minister must ensure A, the historic imbalances are addressed. The proposed amendment is to change historic to historical. still be grammatically correct. B, the imbalances of interest is maintained between persons representing the Department of Education, Basic Education, the Department of Communication, the Council for Higher Education, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, the PAL South African Language Board, the South African Qualifications Authority, tertiary institutions, and stakeholders in the language industry. Chairperson, there is a proposed amendment to to eliminate some of the departments and to reduce the list. The new list will now read, the balance of interest is maintained between persons representing the Department of Basic Education, the Council for Higher Education, the PAL South African Language Board, the South African Qualifications Authority, and stakeholders in the language profession. Four, the minister.
Let's agree. That is the proposal that we should, the list should be shortened now, if I use my simple language.
So basically the department is removed and the Department of Communications and the Department of Justice. So it's just the Department of Basic Education that remains from the government department.
You also say
that to include the word in consultation with the board. So it will read, the minister must designate in consultation with the board A, one of the members as a chairperson of the board, and B, one of the members as a deputy chairperson of the board. Basically, this amendment seeks to ensure that the minister consults with the board, and by understanding that this was something the committee had asked about in the previous meeting.
Next chairperson, I did refer to PENSOLV last week, where the board, the PENSOLV board, chooses its own chairperson, etc. But here the minister is also involved. And then one of the officials said that the PENSOLV Act is also in revision. They are back. Because my question was, why does the minister, why is the minister indicated here and not PENSOLV board? And that was the answer I got. And then they said that it is in consultation with, the minister has to consult with the council or what, and then designate the chairperson.
The word is in consultation, so there must be agreement as to the chairperson and deputy person. Not after, so the minister has to agree, or the board has to agree with the minister. Moving on to Fahari.
And it's unfortunate that we have moved to them, because simply I wanted to check the why are we having the Department of Education? I'm taking one step. The Department of Basic Education and not the Department of Higher Education. Because if we have a department and a council. Perhaps we should be having the department as well as the council for both. I don't know if I make sense.
Maybe this could be an opportunity to close that gap. So can you
after consult? What effect does it have in consultation or after consultation with the board? Does it make any difference?
Thank you, Lord. In consultation means there must be agreement, there must be consensus. After consultation, the minister can still look at and say, this is the chairperson. So there is no need for agreement after consultation. The minister may merely inform the board. Coming to the question that you have just posed to me, when DJ was here last week, he indicated that around issues of appointment of chairpersons of boards, we have had problems, many problems in our institution. It was then on that basis that when we drafted this legislation, we gave the power to appoint the chairperson and deputy chairperson to the minister. However, when we received public comments, there were concerns that the board reports to the minister, and therefore the board must, of its own accord, choose a chairperson. We indicated that in view of the problems that we have experienced in the past, and the fact that this is a state-funded institution, at least the compromise that we can find, rather than give the power to the board to appoint its own chairperson, that the minister then must consult with the council in the appointment of the board. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe this time and place we want to express this. I'm trying to check. I don't want to on the latter explanation in relation to the after consultation. But what I'm trying to get into is, I'm checking in the composition of the board. I mean, it's clearly stated in this bill that those board members are appointed by. And then among those people, that is section 2 of it, who are eligible to be appointed to this board. Now, when coming to the appointment of the chairperson, I mean, what is it? The chairperson, the chairperson and the deputy chairperson by the board, that is what I do understand, by the board, but it should not be left into the hands of minister alone. That means the minister in consultation with the board members, then they can together appoint a chairperson. I mean, if we like to simplify it without, you know, applying the deep legality, therefore, it simply means that the board themselves, when they sit for the first time, maybe the minister should be there together with them. They agree on the appointment of that particular two positions, chairperson and the deputy chairperson. I would like to conclude in that situation.
Thank you, Honourable Member. That is what we seek to achieve. If one reads the bill as it stands now, it simply means that the minister will appoint the chairperson. End of story. But now we have introduced a new addition to say that the minister must consult with the board. That will therefore achieve what we have exactly said to the board. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, as the gentleman has just indicated, You know, when we call people here for public hearing, people must see us to be taking them serious. There was a strong feeling amongst the people who came here for public hearings that the minister is not supposed to be the job of the minister to appoint the chairperson. And secondly, the chairperson must have the respect of the board members. And the board members are appointed anyway by the minister. When he elects one of them now to be the chairperson, he has actually definitely will be having the reason. I am trying to say, I don't see any wrong thing in this consultation. Because this person must have the respect of the other board members. That is the purpose. Also, to accommodate the people we call here for public hearing. Because they felt strongly that this is not supposed to be the duty of the minister to appoint the chairperson of the board.
Then the confusion remains, especially because of the things that were said here. Because we understand that there's a role played by the minister. Now, when we look at the department, there's only one department which will be having a minister to have anything to do with the council. But the higher education will definitely not have a minister. Because we see the council, and we don't see that particular department. The ministers are married to departments. So that once we don't talk of the department per se, we're taking away one of the ministers. My question is, who is going to liaise? Because this council, the council for higher education, will not have any minister sitting there because the department is not there. Ministers move within departments. You don't get a loose minister. Thank you.
The minister here is the Minister of Arts and Culture. No other department. It's just the Minister of Arts and Culture because he is responsible for language matters.
The issue of language is far under the Department of Arts and Culture. It's really what happened. The Department of Arts and Culture is signing MOUs with different departments. If you can remember, in our political debate, we raised a lot of what happened with these MOUs. Personally, can remember. So the. That's why the button must mention in the legislation, in the budget. But the Department of playing an oversight role is the Department of Art and Culture. So therefore, I want to come to the issue of the members raised on the issue of the chairperson of the board. I think in point two, A and B, it separates what expectation is of the board. What type of experience and skills must that board members have. So when they, on their own, if I can understand, on their own way, when they look to a chairperson, they must look to a chairperson on what that point A and B is saying. When a chairperson will be appointed or a deputy. So that's the way I, when it's come further down, calling the bill. So I don't know what is the position of the committee. What are they saying on that one of 3.1 A and B? No, we are on four. Are we on four? On four. So what are the members are saying on that one.
Now that we've deleted five, the rest of the numbers will have to be moved up. So six now becomes five in the proposed amendment, and it reads, the minister must, by notice in the Gazette, invite an interested party within the Republic to nominate candidates for appointment to the board. There's a further amendment to that clause. After Gazette, the word at least two national newspapers will be inserted. So the minister must, by notice in the Gazette, and at least two national newspapers, invite any interested party within the Republic to nominate candidates for appointment to the board. This is just to ensure that people in the public have access to the notice of the minister. Final committee, I'm going to move to clause 7, sub-clause 7. The invitation for nominations must specify the nomination procedure, the requirements for nomination, and the closing date for nomination. Clause 8 now becomes clause 7, and reads, the minister must consider all nominations submitted in response to the notice and may appoint a selection panel consisting of senior departmental officials to review all the nominations and make recommendations to the minister on the nominations. The proposed amendment to this clause is to The minister must consider all nominations submitted in response to the notice and to appoint a selection panel consisting of senior department officials, including language practitioners, to review all nominations and make recommendations to the minister on the nomination. Clause 9 becomes clause 8, and it reads, the minister must cause the names of the persons appointed to the board to be published in the Gazette and at least two newspapers circulating in the Republic immediately after such persons have been notified in writing of their appointment to the board. Clause 10 becomes clause 9. The minister must, within 2 months after the appointment of members in terms of subsection 1, inform the cabinet and the portfolio committee of the names of the appointed members, including the term of their appointment. Clause 11 becomes clause 10. This section applies the necessary changes to the filling of a vacancy on the board. And the proposed amendment is to include a clause 11. It's on page 6 of the proposed amendment, and it will read, the minister may dissolve the board if he or she considers the board to be dysfunctional upon having given it a reasonable opportunity to make written representations on why it should not be dissolved. The wording just needs to be corrected.
Yes. Okay.
Moving on to disqualification for members of board. On subclause clause 6.
Yeah, Jefferson, but this one might also be likely to touch us as a portfolio committee. I'm trying to look into the sequence. Because in chapter 3, we have been talking about the composition where the minister should be involved also. But when we're coming down here to the last one, 9, 8, and 7, after the Gazette and so on, and the nominations, what it means is that already the board members are there, whereby the minister may be with the, as indicated, within 2 months after appointment of members in terms of subsection 1, inform the cabinet with those names, and also the portfolio committee with those names of the members that have been appointed in this board. I'm checking the sequence there. Are we still on the right side? Unless maybe, you know, people who are not in this section, not yet in proper information, always jump into some conclusion, unnecessary conclusion. I might be on that part, but I'm trying to check this. And it's just an assistant. Whether it's in line or whatever, not in line, then it will be a full stop.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Are you then proposing that perhaps what should happen is that once the minister is appointed, the various members for the board, the minister must come to this house and inform the house of the people who have been appointed, and thereafter publish the name. I think it would be proper then, if that's your suggestion. So that then 9 becomes 10 and 10 becomes 9. You are informed first before the minister then publishes the name or gazettes.
I'm afraid to put it in the way that I've got a better understanding than other people. But what I'm trying to say, that's why I'm calling it the sequence. As he's putting it,
Thank you, Honourable. But I think then what we would also need to do... No, it's fine. We will just change 10 to 9, and 9 then will become 10. Yes, swap it around. And also, can I propose, Honourable Member, now that we have accepted the issue around the clause around dissolution of the board, perhaps to say that it's composition in the heading, the composition and dissolution of board, so that we deal with composition and we don't find the clause that is perhaps hanging, which talks about dissolution of the board, the new section that has been proposed. Thank you. The appointment is on clause 5.3, section 5.3, where we are saying that in appointing the members contemplated in the in subsection 1, the minister must then ensure. You will note, members, that under chapter 3, we are talking about board of council. Now, all I'm proposing is that the heading where it says composition of the board, it must be composition and dissolution of board, because we have proposed that a new clause be inserted. Now we are simply saying that these are the people who comprise the board, and then should the minister feel that the board is dysfunctional, the minister will give the board an opportunity to make detailed presentations on why it should not be dissolved. Why we have inserted that clause is because we have had instances where people challenge the power of the minister to dissolve the board. They say it is not in the act, therefore you cannot dissolve it. But we all know that the principle is who hires can also fire.
Yeah.
So we just want to make it clear, therefore, that in as much as the minister appoints members of the board, if he considers that the board is dysfunctional, obviously he will indicate the reasons why he considers it dysfunctional and then give them an opportunity.
I think what the member was trying to say is that since we're adding to the composition, to the title, maybe we say composition, appointment, and dissolution of the board, to add appointment on the title.
Chairperson, we must also be very careful of making it too cumbersome. What is the composition? What does the word composition mean? Composition to me means appointment. So if we say composition, appointment, I think it will make it too cumbersome, because e-composition is how it is composed. So I am saying, therefore, composition alone is sufficient.
Thank you.
answer on mine, is directly or indirectly interested in any contact with the council and fails to declare his or her interest in the nature thereof in the manner required by the Act, is a person under curatorship, he has at any time been removed from an office of trust on account of misconduct involving payment of fraud. F has been convicted and sentenced in terms of imprisonment, to a term of imprisonment without the option of a fine except, has been convicted and sentenced to a term of imprisonment without the option of a fine, except that the minister may, upon receipt of an affidavit, disclosing full details of an offence by a person nominated for appointment, condone a conviction in a manner that is consistent with Section 106(1)(e) of the Constitution, provided that a disqualification in terms of this subsection ends 5 years after the sentence has been completed, or G, failed to disclose an interest in accordance with Section 7, or attended or participated in the proceedings of the board while having an interest contemplated in the said section. Declaration of financial or other interests of members, 7.1. A person who has been nominated to serve on the board in terms of Section 5.6 must, within 10 days of being nominated, submit a written declaration to the Minister of all direct and indirect interests in any company and of any other business interests. Any failure by the nominee to disclose financial and other interests in terms of subsection 1 disqualifies such nominee in terms of subsection 6 on the appointment to the board. 3. A member must, upon assuming office and at the beginning of every financial year of the council, submit a written declaration of his or her direct or indirect interest in a company or other business in any company or other business interest. 4. Wherever acquires an interest in any company or any other business interest at any time during his or her tenure as a member of the board, he or she must, within 10 days of the date of the acquisition of such an interest, submit a written declaration to the minister of such an interest. 5. Failure on the part of a member to disclose his or her interest as contemplated in subsection 3 and 4 constitutes justifiable reasons for the termination of appointment of such member in terms of Section 9.2. 6. The minister must keep an updated register of the interest of members disclosed in terms of the section. Term of office and reappointment of member, clause 8. A, the persons appointed to the board must hold office for a period of 5 years or such lesser period as the minister may determine, and B, are subject to subsection 5, eligible for reappointment at the expiry of such period, provided that no person may be reappointed after having served on the board for a continuous period of 10 years.
Yeah, it's so interesting to learn this kind of thing. You know, I'm checking here the must and the may. Term of office and reappointment of the See, the person appointed to the board must. There are so many reasons that may crop in even before that 5 years. So where does the must really concur and concur? So I think here we should use may so that if you become insolvent in the insolvent somebody must complete the 5 year. I'm trying to check, of course, the legality may even talk about the must and the may, but I thought may and then A should be suitable.
Sorry, Chair. There is a proposed amendment on page 6 to remove the mask. So it will be the person appointed to the board hold office for a period of 5 years. So that addresses the member's concern because the mask will be removed from that section. Page 6 of the proposed amendments, clause 8.1. Member may resign from office by giving no less than 30 days written notice to the minister, provided the minister may waive the resignation notice period. 5. Whenever a vacancy occurs in the board, the minister must, subject to section 5, appoint a person to fill such vacancy for the unexpired portion of the period of office of the member in whose place such person is appointed. 6. In the event that the minister exercises his or her powers in terms of subsection 2, he or she may, notwithstanding the procedure for the appointment of members of the board set out in section 5, subject to section 5.2 and 5.3, appoint persons to serve as members of the board on an interim basis, provided that a person appointed in front of this subsection may not remain on the board for a period of more than 90 days from the date of their appointment, and b, the minister must, subject to section 5, appoint the permanent members of the board within 90 days of the appointment contemplated in the subsection.
I haven't been appointed as a timekeeper, but I think it's one of those for lunch, and unless otherwise invited for a wedding lunch, but I would believe that we break for a lunch. Since we sit here at 7 o'clock in the morning, we haven't moved a seat. Yes. I may not be a good, reader, but 7 o'clock hours.
They are not members, but they are human beings.
So they must also have the land, some of them must have also received themselves. So if members can agree on what time must they be back, and then we must have, be there the chairperson without myself and Sondusa. Because we have a meeting at 2 o'clock, it says, and whoops.
Chairperson, if we can provide all the stuff that we're talking about, we may not finish this bill as we are still going to fight for. And you failed to take my advice at the beginning that we deal with the administration. So now.
Otherwise, I don't know, must I put my apologies to that meeting, but I can't because I'm supposed to do it after yesterday or the day before yesterday. I mean, it's late now, it's now past what? It's now for
So what do you want us to do now? Your privilege has to say that we are human beings and then we'll compare with that, we'll take a break. What next?
I'm saying that Mabunda, if we can propose to elect a chairperson out of this meeting so that a person can continue when we come back from that break.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go then.
Thank you. I didn't see if people are supporting that, but should they be accepting that? Can we then propose that the Nkulukumba or Mabunda be the person who will take us?
No, I
will contribute
that.
You will contribute more.
Madam, oh, sorry, always just said this. I'm sorry, man, I'm not trying to be nasty when I say madam. I'm sorry. Honorable Teacher President, really, as I have said, Friday I'll be here, but I can sacrifice any day next week. I can sacrifice any day next week. Much as I'm supposed to be in the constituency, election times or campaigning, but I can sacrifice any day next week to be here. But Friday, really, I cannot. My daughter, as I have said, is graduating. And I've already promised that I'll attend the graduation.
I know I agree on this, but my daughter is also graduating at UWC, so it's on Thursday, yeah.
Chairperson, we are here today. Let's finish it. Even if it gets 12 o'clock tonight. I don't know whether those people are available, but we are here now. Let us finish it.
I agree. Whatever to during my break, I will ask for the chief office if they can excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then when I come back, they will do it. They can ram on my voice on my head, but I was saying to them that they can please, if we finish, then I can come to join the meeting. Is it agreed for how many minutes will we go on break?
Two o'clock.
At 2 o'clock? Okay.